Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the Elephant. When I'm a roll on a
tonight we are going to see if we can say something else, which everybody else is going to be talking about tomorrow, which is kind of what happened last night. Welcome to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. I am Christopher Ape Man Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Michael McBath. 407-774-8255 is the number. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge, and we're ready to go with another big show for you tonight. Abe Katzman is going to be checking in with us tonight for his usual weekly, is normally on Monday night, but of course Monday was a holiday. We couldn't do it last night. We had Congressman Micah, but Abe is going to be checking in with us tonight. We got some real interesting news. As a matter of fact, some news that just came across having to do with the Iranian deal that we're going to be talking about with Abe here shortly. And but we got a lot of other stuff to talk about, too. And, of course, we got a poll question. And if you have downloaded the free, and you can do it right now if you haven't done it yet, you can do it as you're listening to us. Download the free WORL-FM-AM app. And once you do that into your smart device, be it a phone or a tablet or whatever, you can then participate in our daily polls. And, of course, you can always listen to us in all the live programming, all the programming on AM 660 The Answer via that app. So, without further ado, Nicholas Cicero, do we have another controversial poll question tonight going to get us in trouble here?
Well, I don't know if this one's controversial, Chris.
We'll try to make it that way.
I'm sure you guys will. You always do. You always find a way to do that. So the announcement came today. You know, we all saw this coming. The Pro Bowl will be in Orlando in 2017, and also a preseason NFL football game between the Dolphins and the Falcons. So we're asking today, would you like to see more pro football keep coming to Orlando?
Interesting slant on that poll question there. All right, that's today's poll question. We'll give you an update later on in the show. Of course, we'll have the final poll tally at the end of tonight's show. And once again, the Rays are playing in Kansas City tonight, so their first pitch is not until 8:05. So you got the full 2 hours of us and then a half hour of Larry Elder if you just listen on the airwaves. And of course, if you have that their app, you can listen to us all the time, no matter what the Rays are doing. And but having to do with the Pro Bowl coming to Orlando, Mike, were you out playing golf this morning with Roger Goodell before the press conference this afternoon?
No, but Reggie Branch. Actually, you know, he's a Super Bowl player, but we were talking about the Pro Bowl situation. And again, my concern is simply this. Having dealt with the NFL, because I have actually been the president of the NFL, former players, twice, you know, and nationally. This isn't like some local yokel joke or something like that.
Right.
And the key to the NFL is to always lay off risk. That's how any businessman operates, asked Don Trump. He's a very smart guy that did very well, as did all the NFL owners. My question to our leaders in Orlando who want $3 million worth of taxpayers' money is very simple. How come there was only two bidders? And I love this one. Australia. Oh, okay, that's a real valid one, right? And then Houston, where the Super Bowl is.
So other than Orlando, there were only two other cities?
Right. And
one was Sydney, Australia.
Sydney, Australia. I mean, is this
like,
great?
The players didn't like going to Hawaii. You think they were really going to go to Sydney?
And my question on that, too, is that, you know, if that's your bidders, it's like a stock. If the stock's a good stock, you're going to have 30 bidders. If the stock's a piece of junk, you're going to have no bidders. So the reality of it is, and they go, oh, well, we're going to sell 10,000 rooms, you know. Well, you know what? This isn't a college game, or this isn't a pro game where the pro team comes.
Where they have, a large following.
Right. What this is individual players, and half of them will not truly be the All-Pros, because last year about half of those chosen for the Pro Bowl turned it down.
Plus, the best players who are in the Super Bowl won't be
participating. Right, the Super Bowl fellows will not be playing because that's the week afterwards.
Right.
And then the other tier of fellows who all played in the playoffs, they're beat to a pulp, so they don't want to play.
And so what you end up with is a powder puff game.
Right. So you get a game, and there's high-quality players in it, that's for sure. But unfortunately, no one wants to get hurt because your contracts are usually substantially more than what you get paid to play in this game.
I would guess so.
So
yeah.
What we're trying to figure out is, if anybody remembers back in the late 60s and 70s, they used to have that college all-star game where the college all-stars, meaning the best college players, played the Super Bowl champion. And guess what happened to the game?
Nobody
died. Right. No one wanted to play in it because of fear of injury, et cetera.
And so the interest waned.
So my concern is, for the taxpayer, is very simple. You know, is this really set up just for a great party for the city leaders and the Citrus Bowl people? Or is it really to make money? Because I like it. If it's to make money, I'm for saying, look, Citrus Bowl leaders and City of Orlando, you know, get your guy, your investors together, go at it. I hope you triple your money. But I'm just got an eerie feeling that no one's talked about what the financial results have been for the last 3 years. Why has that never come up?
Is there
something I don't understand?
It's a shiny object, and of course, there's been a lot of local leaders here that have been trying to bring the NFL to town for a long time, which is why that's a very good question that Nick came up with there. And I'm sure that's part of the motivation here, mm-hmm. is they actually may be even aware of what you're talking about, especially mm-hmm. if they listen to this show, because they've heard you say it before. It's either that or some politicians got snookered by some business people again, right?
Without a doubt, these people. Or extreme. I mean, you know, when we do our collective bargaining, which is for billions of dollars, you know, it's not a game. I mean, these people are out to lay risk off. So, you know, they go, hey, we might as well do another Pro Bowl because we can make money. It doesn't matter about the other guy.
Right.
Until it finally sinks.
And let me tell you something. There will not be an NFL team coming to Orlando unless it's Jacksonville.
Yeah. But you know what? In all seriousness.
Because they can't fill up those stadiums.
Yeah. The problem is Florida's had its chance. You've had Tampa, you've had Miami, and you've had Jacksonville. They're all on the lower side of the spectrum in attendance. So the reality of it is, and then also Jacksonville and Tampa, they both have rights, you know, sort of like centering across Central Florida.
Right, TV rights.
So the reality of it is, if you did have a team, then you'd probably have to buy some rights back. This is not going to happen. The next team, I'm going to make an outright prediction, the next one, besides L.A., is going to London.
London.
Mark my words. London.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, our poll question is up. And once again, you have the duration of the show to get your response in there. And we'll give you the updates and the final tally later on, as I said. As we were opening the show, I said, who knows, we might say something on the show tonight that other people will be saying or talking about tomorrow. And that has happened. And it has happened in a multitude of ways. Perhaps they're out there listening. I don't know. But I told y'all last night that on Sunday night, I started talking about Plan B with Aubrey Kahn,
right,
having to do with Hillary Clinton not likely being the nominee of the Democratic Party.
Right.
Well, lo and behold, and this has been talked about on a lot of other shows today, a fellow by the name of Doug Schoen, he's a political...
Doing Fox a lot.
Yeah, he's a talking mm-hmm. head, and he's a pollster, and he was Bill Clinton's main pollster from 94 through 2000. He's written an article in today's Wall Street Journal talking about Clinton might not be the nominee. And he makes all the same arguments that I made, right? That they're looking at the poll numbers. They're looking at she can't get over Bernie Sanders. That that hump, if you will, and she's got the lingering legal issues out there, and so they're trying to figure out what they might do. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs, and then I want to go to Nate because I wanted to go in that direction where he's at anyway. These are this is toward the end of the article, which is entitled "Clinton Might Not Be the Nominee." It's in today's Wall Street Journal. That's Wednesday. I said all this stuff on the show Sunday night and then reiterated it last night. Let me read now. There are increasing rumblings within the party about how a new candidate could emerge at the convention. John Kerry, the 2004 nominee, is one possibility. But the most likely scenario is that Vice President Joe Biden, who has said that he regrets every day his decision not to run, and we've said that repeatedly on the show, enters the race. Mr. Biden would be cast as the white knight rescuing the party and the nation from a possible Trump presidency, which we've also said. To win over Sanders supporters, here's the icing on the cake, he would likely choose as his running mate someone like Senator Elizabeth Warren, who is respected by the party's left wing. And then he talks about where's President Obama been and how Obama and his main advisor, Valerie Jarrett, might begin sending signals to the National Democratic Committee and to the vice president that a Biden rescue operation wouldn't displease the White House. And then he closes out with all of these remain merely possibilities, true, but it is easier now than ever to imagine a scenario in which Hillary Clinton, whether by dint of legal or political circumstances, is not the Democratic presidential nominee. We shall see, but maybe Bruce, they are listening.
One quickie, though. This just came across. I mean, within the last minute, is Clinton holds a 2-point lead over Sanders ahead of the California primary as of today. And that was from the Wall Street Journal, NBC, Marist poll. So, 2-point lead as of today. She's going to lose.
We shall see. And that, of course, is lose. 1 week from yesterday is that California primary.
Right.
And I know that our California gorgeous lady of wrestling who checks in with us every Sunday nights, she's been feeling the burn. I'll leave it at that. Let's go to Nate. Nate, thank you so much for your patience. I appreciate you holding out there.
Hey, yeah, no problem.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about David French.
Yes, he is the third party
Kennedy.
Yes.
I actually do like his resume. I mean, he was a constitutional lawyer, so he knows the Constitution, unlike Donald Trump. And he cares about the Constitution, unlike Hillary. He went to war. He went to he served in Iraq.
Yeah, he's a Iran
star, and he was a middle-aged man when he went to war. Also, so like he's like he let his family go so he could serve our country.
Yeah, I understand.
So he's a very honorable man.
He's a fine man. He's a fine man. The problem that he has is that.
For lack of a better word,
when I heard, you know who it reminded me of? You remember a fellow by the name of Admiral Stockdale?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Admiral Stockdale was a fine man with a great reputation, too, and he's now known for his one line in the debate when he said, "Who am I and why am I here?" He was Ross Perot's choice for running mate. He is a fine man. He's a fine choice, but he's got no name recognition. He will have no money, and I'm afraid he will
there's no time left.
He will suffer ignominy. I mean, it will be ignominious. This is not a good thing for Mr. French.
The other thing, Nate,
is why he has not yet committed to doing it. I think.
Right? Wasn't Obama a constitutional lawyer? Isn't that what he tells everybody? We obviously know he wasn't
professor.
Because he never passed the bar.
Yeah, but Nate is right. David French is a fine man.
On paper, he sounds great.
But the problem that he has is, once again, no name recognition, and it looks like nobody else wanted to do it. And so he's sort of a last resort. It's like that college coach that gets hired because all the ones you really wanted wouldn't take the job. And so, yeah, I kind of feel for the guy, you know, if he decides to do it. But you're right. Everything you said is absolutely correct.
Well, I'll say a few more things, if I can.
You have to make it quick, though.
He has nothing to lose because he doesn't have much name recognition anyway. So I think he should do it. If he does take votes away from Trump, It won't be very many.
That's
and
correct.
If he does take a lot of votes from Trump, it kind of shows that he has a weak candidacy to begin with.
Well, but see, and, once again, the problem is there
I
won't
tell
be
everyone,
the, what's that?
I want to tell everyone, a vote for Trump is a vote for Hillary. Get on the French roll. Or it'll be French fried.
All right. That'd be a good McDonald's sign.
As a matter of fact, French fried is how I wrote it down in tonight's outline.
That's exactly. Ahead of the game.
Oh, you weren't in the studio tonight, were you, Nate? All right. God bless you, man. Thank you.
God bless you.
And you hang in there. All right. We'll take Rick's phone call, and then we got to take a break and get Abe lined up. Rick, thank you for calling tonight.
Good guys.
Howdy.
It's not going to be London. It'll be Vegas.
They're talking Vegas too now. You know,
Mark Davis is optimistic about the
right.
Vegas
I know. I saw the whole article and everything about Vegas, and that's it's possible. You know, but it's such a transient town. You know, what I mean, in a sense, in and out, and I'm not sure they have how big their population base is.
I was going to say, would they
you
have
know
the
what mean?
Fan
so,
base?
I don't know, but if Vegas can dig the money up, you know, I mean, the franchise fee are astronomical and everything. And again, the NFL, once they don't take any risk, they lay the risk out on whoever is going to be the next owner.
Hey, maybe. Do you think that Vegas has money?
Oh, I mean, I think they have money. Yeah, I'm not. That's not the issue. The issue is I just wonder if it's so transient in a sense of attendance. You know, can they constantly produce a crowd of 70,000, 80,000
people? I think
the
NFL would be hesitant to put a team there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but you don't know. I would think the California teams wouldn't like the idea of that. But we shall see. But maybe Sheldon Adelson will pony up the money. By the way, he has decided to start a super PAC to benefit the Donald.
Oh, good.
All right. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
Appreciate you being out there. All right. Yeah, we'll go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, Abe Katzman will be joining us live from Jerusalem tonight. All right. Well, I see he's already on the line. So we'll make this a short break. And when we come right back, we'll have Abe Katzman with us. So please stay with us. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got us. We're live. We're the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. All right. We do have Abe Katzman, our man live from Jerusalem, coming to us right now. Abe, how you doing tonight? What's the weather like there?
It's actually a pretty nice night tonight.
Oh, excellent, excellent, because
it's hot time, here, I can tell you that.
Yeah, this time we got the heat wave over here.
Like 95.
Yeah, okay. All right. Abe, where should we start? Let's start with American politics, and then we'll get into Israeli politics, because there's been a significant happening, if you will, in Israel. But over here, it's, you know, Hillary's still fighting Bernie Sanders. It's as ugly as ever for her. Her poll numbers are going down. If they're going anywhere, they're certainly not going up. Meanwhile, Donald Trump's numbers are going up. A lot of Democrats are getting nervous. What do people in Israel think of all of this?
I think that for the most part, the people here are a little bit behind. They are not quite caught up with the day-to-day movement, the possibility of additional parties. I don't think anybody here yet knows who David French is. I'm not sure if they know who James Stockdale was either. He was a hero, by the way.
I don't know
if you know his whole story.
Well, I don't, but I know
he really was.
I don't know his whole story, but I do remember that he was a hero in the Vietnam War, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it?
Yes, he was actually a Medal of Honor winner. But he also was for a long time was the highest ranking POW.
And that's right.
At one point, the North Vietnamese wanted to use him for some kind of propaganda film or to parade him around in public, and he actually slit his scalp with a razor and disfigured himself, and I think kind of beat himself up against bars or whatever. So that they would not be able to use him as propaganda. I think he beat himself with a stool, was the story, until his face was swollen way beyond anything that they'd be able to use. Anyway, that's who he was. When he asks who am I, that's who he was.
That is an amazing story. I'm glad you said that. I mean, not only is that determination and brave and bold, but ingenious. I mean, he knew they wanted a pretty face, if you will, for the cameras, and he made sure they didn't get one.
Yeah, that is brave. That's and resourceful and self-sacrificing. You can't come up with enough words to praise that kind of thing.
Wow. Well, I'm ashamed that I didn't know that, but thank you for telling us about that, educating us. He was a fine man, and he was probably more capable of ever doing the job than Ross Perot was.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Now, another question for Abe. Abe, you know, on the settlements, you know, every time I open the paper or something, I see that it seems like you're expanding their settlements and that there's no tomorrow with this. Where do you stand on that? Are you continuing to expand and it's the way it is?
Well, it's, you know, it's funny that that's the impression that is created, because there actually has been very little building within the settlements. There's been it's a couple of things. There are settlements that they've created. I don't think they've created any new settlements in some time, and they've done very, very little expansion of the existing settlements. Whatever building has been done has been done within the confines of the existing settlements, and primarily within a couple of large settlement blocks. Now, I don't know why settlements should be a problem. Even if you end up deciding to withdraw, there were settlements in Gaza. They withdrew from Gaza, and they ended up with Hamas running everything, but they withdrew, and the settlements weren't an issue. So I'm not sure why, you know, why people think that settlements are such an impediment. If there really were it's a hypothetical, but if there really were a peace deal on the table where Israel really believed that they could trust the people on the other side and would really get peace and would really get recognition of Israel being a Jewish state, Israel would make some serious concessions and would pull out of plenty of settlements. That's what they would be willing to do, even if they don't have to. They have a legal claim. There's nothing illegal about the settlements. Even the White House, when they criticize it, listen to them closely. They never say they're illegal. They use the word illegitimate, whatever that's supposed to mean. They're either legal or they're not legal. And if they're legal, they might not be wise, but they're. Well, what does illegitimate mean?
Yeah. All right. When we come back, I want to continue with
baloney.
And we got a true champion in the political analyses ring on the line with us right now. His name is Abe Katzman. I'm Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Michael McBath. We're coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The answer, 407-774-8255 is the number. Abe, we were talking a little bit about Israeli politics and the settlements and last week, the media over here announced that the prime minister changed defense ministers, I believe it is, over there. And I must say, I apologize. I don't have the articles that I thought I'd have in front of me right now. So please educate us as to what happened, why it happened, and why this might be very significant.
Sure. Why it happened is still a mystery. What happened is that the defense minister, a man named Moshe Ya'alon, very well-respected, a no-nonsense guy. I always thought he was kind of like Dick Cheney, except with a military background. Nothing flashy. He's bald. There's nothing artificial, nothing political about him.
Right.
But for a long time, Prime Minister Netanyahu has been operating with a razor-thin majority in the Knesset. Out of 120 seats, the coalition has 61. And for a long time, he's been looking for ways to expand that coalition. Well, one of the ways that he did it, and this is what he finally did, there's a small party named, it's the Israel is Our Home Party, is kind of a natural ally of his, although the leader of it, a man named Avigdor Lieberman, and Netanyahu have a very hot and cold relationship. But he decided to bring him into the government, and apparently the cost of doing so was to give Lieberman the defense ministry. Netanyahu was trying to move Ya'alon from defense into the foreign ministry. Ya'alon wanted nothing to do with that, didn't want to be tossed out of the defense ministry under such terms, and resigned. Now, there had been some disputes between Ya'alon and Netanyahu leading up to this, having to do with whether generals should be able to publicly criticize government policy. A very strange debate, but okay, that's what they had. Now they've got Lieberman in there. The Americans are taking this as an opportunity to bash the Netanyahu government again. Lieberman is an interesting character. He doesn't have the gravitas that Ya'alon did, and he's got a very mixed record of. He'll say outrageous things and he'll change positions. Sounds like somebody in the United States.
So yeah, Don Trump, right? Come on.
Well,
but what's very interesting about him to me, some of this doesn't make sense. People are wondering just why did Netanyahu have to do this? Why is he doing it now? Netanyahu is a very smart guy when it comes to politics and does not get outmaneuvered often. So for him to do something that would kind of shake the faith of the people and his ability to run a government with no apparent payoff, it's a strange thing. So I look at a couple of things with Lieberman. First, he even made some statement today saying no more wars of attrition for Israel. It was kind of a rambling statement, but people picked up on that because they believe that it's a reference to Gaza and the war, the kind of simmering war against Hamas. He in the past has advocated going back in and taking over Gaza and throwing Hamas out. That has not been the prevailing opinion, but we'll see if maybe they think that's the thing to do now. Another thing is that he is an immigrant originally from Moldova, and he has an excellent relationship with Vladimir Putin. They complement each other. For whatever reason, they seem to get along great. Now, Prime Minister Netanyahu is actually heading to Moscow next week, apparently to discuss the situation in Syria. But who knows what's going on? Who knows what's actually going on behind the scenes here? And maybe somehow Lieberman is a factor in this also. He's a bit more hawkish in terms of, I said he advocated the takeover of Gaza. He has said that when there are attacks from Gaza, he doesn't believe in proportionate response. He believes in disproportionate response. He wants to hit back hard if they do anything. All of this is going on with a background of the Netanyahu government making all kinds of overtures with the various Arab states in the region. Nobody can quite figure out what's going on. I assume there is a lot that will become apparent in the coming weeks that we don't know about now.
Let me ask you this. I thought I saw in one of the articles where he supports a two-state solution. Has he said anything about that? Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. He has, again, it's a kind of position that he's gone back and forth on. But one of the things that he has advocated in the past is creating he advocates separation between the Arabs and the Jews, between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And he doesn't just want, if he's going to make a two-state solution, he wants to include a number of areas of Israeli Arabs in what goes to what would be part of a Palestinian state,
right.
And he would take over certain blocks of settlements and bring them into Israel. So a greater separation of the population. The controversial thing: the Israeli Arabs are Israeli citizens. You can't just strip them of that.
Right, Abe. When I first saw this, what dawned on me is that perhaps Netanyahu is trying to position himself to deal with what the Obama administration and Europe seem to have in store for Israel. You follow what I'm saying there?
Yeah, that may be true. I don't know what their sources tell them is coming down the line at Israel, but there is a suspicion that something is going to be happening. Look, there's this peace conference that's going to be convened by France this week.
Right.
Neither Israel nor the Palestinians are invited. So they're just going to have this conference where they think up what they think the appropriate solution should be, which, of course, is going to be having Israel making all kinds of concessions and asking nothing of the Palestinians. That's usually the way these things work.
Right.
You know, it's just going to harden the Palestinian positions. The Israeli position is, what are you guys doing this for? We should be talking with them directly. We made peace with the Egyptians by talking directly. We made peace with the Jordanians by talking directly. What do you need a peace conference in Paris for? Anyway, we'll see what they come up with. There's supposed to be some report from the quartet that is going to be that's going to probably rip into Israel's settlement policy. There are, even though Barack Obama may be a lame duck, but this administration is not acting like one when it comes to dealing with Israel. They are not yet done with Israel.
They're not done with any of us, I'm afraid, but especially not Israel.
Abe, did you read about this NPR situation, with Iran?
With the plowshares fund.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, what'd you think of that?
Well,
I know what you thought of that.
At this point, first of all, nothing shocks me anymore.
Well, first of all, let's fill in our audience who may not be aware of what we're talking about. The NPR, the National Public Radio and Broadcasting Company, which is a private, it's a nonprofit organization, right? They accepted grants from. Abe's going to tell us exactly who, and in return, they kindly promoted the Iran deal as a good idea. So fill us in on what I just left out, Abe.
Sure. There's an organization called the Plowshares Fund, which claims to be a fund dedicated to preventing the spread of nuclear, biological...
Yeah, they're like a nuclear watchdog type situation.
Right.
Nuclear, right. That's what they say. Although they, from day one, they've been very pro-Iran and very pro the Iran deal. They have, I think that there are people there. I'm not sure about this, but I believe that there's a kind of a cozy relationship between them and certain people in the Obama administration. But I'm not certain about. Anyway, they donated apparently and have donated in the past hundreds of thousands of dollars to NPR. And, conveniently, NPR canceled its interviews with critics of the Iran deal, including Congressman Mike Pompeo, who I think even produced some emails, even when NPR denied that this happened, I think he produced some emails showing that it did. And even though they, we've had too many interviews and too many congressmen and too much about this deal already, they still featured proponents of the deal, like Democrat Adam Schiff, I think.
Oh, yeah, he's a winner.
Multiple interviews.
Yes.
He's a real winner. Yeah. I heard him lying the other night on the Clinton email situation. It was pathetic how he twisted and turned and blatantly lied. But fortunately, he was called out.
Yeah, and by the way, the latest on the NPR thing is they have their own, I guess, auditor or inspector general type person who has said, that probably wasn't a good idea, and maybe they should rethink that sort of thing.
A little late, don't you think?
In the future.
Right? Yeah. Well, NPR insists that they weren't influenced by this, the editorial content wasn't influenced. But when you put this together with Ben Rhodes' claim that he was creating a pro-Iran echo chamber, and the Plowshares Fund claims that they had an impact on this, it's hard to take them seriously.
Well, if they weren't influenced, they were certainly useful idiots, that's for sure. I got one last question for you, and once again, thanks for being on the show with us tonight. I know it's not your regular night, but you're a lawyer, and I know you've heard about the Inspector General's report about Hillary Clinton, the State Department Inspector General. She clearly is in a lot of legal trouble, is she not?
It looks like it. I mean, I didn't need an inspector general report to tell me that, but the fact that the inspector general, who is, you know, this is not a Republican, the fact that the inspector general came out and said this, that's going to cause her trouble. And especially because he in essence refuted what has been her standard line of defense. Now, I don't know how many people pay attention to that level of detail. So she may get away with just continuing to say, well, all the other secretaries did it and I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Yeah, whatever. So I don't know whether she's but this doesn't seem to be going away. And I think she may think that it should have gone away by now. But like Bernie Sanders, it keeps sticking around.
Yeah, sure enough. And it portends even worse things coming out of the FBI when they get around to making public whatever they're going to make public. Because you would think that their report is going to be far more detailed and far more problematic for her.
Yeah, I would think so. But the question there is whether that report would ever see the light of day, or whether it's going to get buried somewhere on Loretta Lynch's desk.
Right.
Because the referral actually goes to her, and she is going to decide what to do with it.
All right. Well, Abe, thanks again for being with us tonight, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. God bless you. We'll be praying for you in Israel.
Thanks, Abe.
Thank you. Always a pleasure being with you.
And you know what? I bet you, Abe, tomorrow somebody's going to be talking about something that you told us on the show tonight. I'm going to put money on it.
I hope so. Good. Nice to know that we're influencing, directly influencing the public.
We're out there. We're putting it out there. God bless you. All right.
Thanks.
All right. Good night. All right. Once again, that is Abe Katzman. He's a great columnist, as you heard.
You know, it is great to get his opinion of what's going on over there.
We're directly on the front line. Tell me where else. Where you're going to get that?
Nowhere.
That's right. We are so proud to have
that is great.
His expertise on our show. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Oh, he's coming calling, the tax man.
The tax man to who?
To our buddy
Al Sharpton, the shakedown man with that crew cut, you know, Pumpkinhead.
Yeah.
Did you see, though, the Pumpkinhead, he owes the state of New York $600,000.
That's on top of what he owes the United States
government. I mean, if you extrapolate that out, oh, my God, I bet you he owes the U.S. probably $7, $8 million now.
I think it's like four to six, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I always remember nothing more I hated was when the Bills would play in New York City, the Jets.
Yeah.
You know, they take your federal tax, they take the state tax, they take the city tax.
Oh, yeah.
In all seriousness, you'd end up with 40 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
And you wonder why there's so many athletes supporting Trump.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
Our friend Pat Williams points out in that documentary, Making Magic on ESPN, that if Trump would have Shaq would have taken the deal that the Magic were offering him, he'd ended up with a whole lot more money because we don't have a state income tax.
Right.
As they do in California. Hey. All right, we got a big contest coming up tomorrow. It is Thursday night, and Colonel Danny McKnight will be here to help us judge the contestants.
Well, I think he's going to like the topic, too. We're going to talk about our good friend, political correctness. Now, I heard our president, which I only could listen for about a minute. I heard him on TV this afternoon, and, you know, he's into his garbage again.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit.
But we all know what the safe place is. That's a politically correct word used by our college students. We know what microaggression is. That's when somebody's too sensitive and you're hurting their feelings, and white oppression. But we're going to have R.
Don't forget PC. Z and...
Right. That's exactly right.
These so transgender names.
My first
pronoun.
PC word is going to be abominesque. And here's how you use it. You use it in a sentence. What abominesque means, extremely stupid, lacks major thought. So let's use it in a sentence so we can use it at the next cocktail party. Oh, Mr. Smith, that was an extremely abominesque statement. What do you mean by that, Mike? Extremely stupid. So, first PC word. Now, my second one, and I know, Chris, you're coming up with one for tomorrow.
Yeah.
The second one, we're going to be sort of BLM, you know, Black Lives Matter and all the different little indicators they use.
Right.
Well, we're going to have one, it's easy to remember, BCD. And that stands for Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit. And all it means is by implementing these letters, what we're showing is you can blame someone else for all your bad activities. So let's use it in this in a sentence, boys and girls. The mass murderer looks like another BCD action. Well, we should all know that means even though we know whose fault it is, it's really not their fault, so let's blame it on somebody else.
They had a bad childhood.
So we're going to ask you to come up with your politically correct. Because I would tell you, I would love to get. We have to try to get that published for our newsletter one of these times.
We should. We'll do just politically correct.
That would be a lot of fun.
Politically correct library of street lingo contest.
You got it, man. It's time to kick back. We've had it.
All right. Speaking of having had it, we got a man on the line who prints T-shirts that sometimes say things like that. It is our man Scott Miller of My Liberty Threads. Scott, how you doing these days?
Pretty good. How you doing, Chris and Mike?
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Excellent.
Pretty good. I tell you, something really funny happened today that I just had to share with you guys.
Go ahead.
I'm not doing any polling, obviously, but we got a voting block that I can pretty much speak for after today at a flea market in central Pennsylvania.
Where
are you, around Harrisburg?
Yeah.
I just passed a sign saying Harrisburg, 50 miles.
Yeah.
It was a town called Panacqua. It's a small town flea market.
Yep,
and,
yep.
Set up right across from a Mennonite. I'm not sure it was Mennonite or an Amish gentleman. He was selling jarred pickles and green beans and stuff like that.
Yeah, the Amish are all from up in that area.
Yeah,
right?
Mennonites, Amish. Yeah, but yeah, go mm-hmm. ahead.
Yeah, and they have great, great food. So I went to go buy a couple jars from him, and he made me a deal. And I said, it's too bad I can't offer you something in return. And he said, well, you still got a couple more of those Donald Trump decals? So I would imagine by later this afternoon there's going to be a horse and buggy driving around somewhere with a Trump decal on the back of it.
No kidding.
That's great.
Yeah. Wow.
That's,
I hope
Scott, that's good to hear. I'm going up to Penn State for they have a NFL Letterman's weekend in the middle of June, so I'll look for that because I'm driving up from Philly, so I'll be able to look for your Trump sign.
you just might see it. Just stay away from the horse apples off on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Hey, is your Trump bumper sticker the one with the hair?
No, mine is a little more subdued, but I've seen some of those, and those are hilarious.
Yeah, okay, all right. Hey, well, that's cool. So that's central.
But you know what? Central
rural,
PA,
rural
as we talked
PA,
about,
yeah.
What's in between Pittsburgh and Philadelphia? Alabama.
that's why I come out here every summer.
That's right. You're just like being in Alabama. It's a different group.
Well, where are you headed really next? Is. Where are you headed next?
Next is right outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. We've got a Frontier Days Festival.
Yeah,
and then it's a couple more middle of the week flea markets in Pennsylvania, then right out to New York for a big Violet Festival next weekend in New York State.
Right. Well, if you happen to go to the Cincinnati Zoo, just remember those ponds are for the animals; they're not for people to go splashing around in. Right.
I will make a note of it. And the other thing I'd like to offer up, because the shirt's been on fire out here in Pennsylvania, whoever wins that contest tomorrow night, please text me their address. And I'll send them a Your Political Correctness Offends Me T-shirt.
Oh, good. That fits in perfect.
Is that your hottest seller right now?
That one, and I Love My Country, It's the Government That Scares Me. That was always huge in Pennsylvania.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's
all right.
Good.
All right,
see,
you got it.
Political correctness guy.
You got it. That's part of tomorrow night's prize package. All right, great work, Scott. We appreciate you.
My pleasure. You guys take care.
You do the
Isn't
same.
That great? He's scanning the country for us, Chris. We have a reporter everywhere.
Well, I will
getting
say
the
this,
temperature of everything.
All along the way, though, his little informal polls
was right.
Were dead on.
You're not kidding.
Dead on.
Right.
All along the way.
And think where he's in, though. He's in these little coves of towns and villages.
Backwood alleys.
Not the big cities.
You got it. Yeah.
And he's getting a real pulse, which, guess what? The people in Washington totally miss, So
he is literally on the front
lines.
So we
can thank Scott for that work.
That's right. All right, Scott Liberty. Scott Liberty. Scott
Liberty,
Miller.
Liberty Valens came to town.
My Liberty Threads. MyLibertyThreads.com. Of course, you can see his ad. We're linked to his site on our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, where you can also join the American Adversaries Army and make sure that we keep guys like Abe Katzman on the air. And by the way, you can find him at our website, too, on the Liberty Links page. We'll be right back. It looks like Aubrey Kahn is on the line. Well, please stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go, Seattle!
welcome to the show, or welcome back to the show. In either case, thank you for listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Michael McBath, who's wearing red and seeing red with that Pro Bowl nonsense going on around here.
No, I'm trying to protect the taxpayer.
I know.
And offering an alternative idea.
We should be seeing a little red because we did. Our politicians got snookered. Anyway, we got Nick LoCicero on the bridge. And 407-774-8255 is the phone number if you'd like to be a part of tonight's show. Of course, we'll be here the full 2 hours, now 1 hour, tonight and the rest of the week because the Rays are playing in a different time zone, and their first pitch is at 8:05 tonight. So,
did Scott say he was going to give us another T-shirt for tomorrow night's contest?
Yeah, for tomorrow night's contest.
So we have $20 certificate, right?
$20 gift certificate for Cafe Positano, compliments of Jerry and Jana Shepherd, right, of Jerry's MB Service. And we got, we got the T-shirt, we got the
right
book, Stephen Gushaw.
Right. That's
yep,
three.
That's right. And
do we have a Trump certificate?
Trump bumper sticker.
Bumper sticker?
You know, I think we do still have one of those. And then we still have a handful of the liar, liar, pantsuit on fire bumper stickers.
You know, I keep my Trump sign right in the middle of my yard, and no one has torn it down or anything.
But it's nice to have not.
What I do, though, I keep two Doberman pictures.
I was going to say, what neighborhood you live
in? I'm just surprised no one's bothered. You know what I mean? But that's where that crazy guy lives.
All right. Before we get back to the phone lines, we do have a poll question up tonight. If you have not, please download the free WORL-FM-AM app into your smart device so that you may participate in these poll questions, like last night's having to do with the shooting at the Cincinnati Zoo. And tonight's poll question has to do with the NFL, does it not, Nick?
Yeah, but real quick, even after your show, people, because the poll actually stays up overnight, and people still voted. It got close to 50% last night, saying that that basically only 55% of the voters said that that the zoo was correct in killing the gorilla. So to save the kids.
5%. I mean, so, you should have heard this morning, though, the Twitter comments. I mean, yeah, it was hilarious. I mean, it was a little off color, but oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, yeah, it almost came back to half, to 50-50 almost, as yesterday. Today, you may have heard Mick talk about this in the news there, that some pro football is coming to Orlando, the Pro Bowl, and a preseason game with the Dolphins and the Falcons. And so we're asking you, would you like to keep seeing more pro football come to Orlando? And right now it's pretty overwhelming with 75% saying yes.
Yay! Oh, I think that would be true. I mean, yeah, without a doubt. It's yeah, just how profitable it would be and who actually, when it comes to putting up money, will support it.
You know what? Perhaps the Jaguars or the Bucks should do is they should have a couple of games a year at the,
you know what, Chris,
the Citrus Bowl.
You know, in all seriousness, yeah, that would have been a better game in the sense of these are teams that are close to us, that people go to the games.
Yeah.
You know, I like Atlanta and all that, but, I mean, they're still, what, 7-8 hours away, whatever. But, I mean, those two would be naturals. And, not that Atlanta and Miami's bad at all, but those would be natural.
To me, those would be the logical ones to play a couple of games. I'm not talking about preseason games.
Right.
I'm talking about games that count.
Right.
And because,
right. I agree.
They would probably pack the stadium, and plus, they would stoke the fan base in this area for their franchise.
It's a rare day that either one of them sell out. I sometimes really wonder, because if even on the baseball side, if they should have built a giant complex with excellent parking somewhere, you know, around Lakeland. Because to me, driving 40, 50, 60 miles, if I had great parking, you know, great facilities, no aggravation, I think that would have been a pretty delightful. And then now you got two major cities that the draw in. Because, but you know, they're struggling. Tampa's struggling attendance-wise, you know?
And Jacksonville always has.
And, you know, guys, the Tampa Bay Rays tried it a few times, playing some regular season games down at Wide World of Sports at Disney.
Right.
Yeah. And it worked for them, I think.
I just believe you got a lot of baseball fans here, a lot of football fans, but I'm not sure you have enough to have one team. So if you put it in Lakeland, it would be like the Tampa-Orlando team.
Yeah,
but, But I would like to do that if it were easy parking and no aggravation getting there.
Yeah, what the problem Mike has, and I do too, I don't see how the Pro Bowl is going to satisfy that desire, right?
Yeah, no, I don't want to mix the Pro Bowl
up. It's not
the Pro
real
Bowl,
football. It's
yeah,
powder
this is
pump
phony football.
Football.
No All one's... Right. Everybody's right, protecting themselves.
So we got an update. We'll get the final tally at the end of tonight's show. And then real quick, Nick, you got a show yourself tonight, right?
Oh, yeah. WDW News Tonight, which is 2 hours all about Walt Disney World and Disney news and stuff. That's every Wednesday, 9 to 11 p.m. over at 1520 WBZW. Or you can listen and watch online at WDWNT.com.
All right. Okay. So if you have that app downloaded, please participate in the poll question. And thank you, by the way, to all of you, those who continued to participate in last night's poll question.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I'm amazed at the amount of people that give us their opinions on these questions. That's great.
Yeah. And like I said, I would, you know, my first instinct is why couldn't the zoo have done A, B, and C before they shot the gorilla dead?
Right.
But they're thinking, those things might work. This we know will work. And we got a situation where we need to have a solution, and right now. Well, and so they did the one thing that they knew would resolve the situation. And unfortunately, it resulted in the death of the ape.
But one thing I didn't like, you know how they have different analysts on TV, was, again, here comes the legal part. You know, I mean, these law firms could destroy every zoo in the country. You know, well, you know, the fence was only 3 feet. But wait a second. The fence held. There was no problems for 40-some years. You get one kid, the parents didn't supervise him, and, oh, boy, that's the zoo's fault for, you know. That's what scares me, because they could destroy every wonderful thing we have provided to us by a zoo. The legal profession could do that.
Didn't we talk about just that last night?
That's exactly right.
I'm getting goosebumps.
That was after we had talked about it.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, this Wall Street Journal comes out, and as a matter of fact, Aubrey's on the line. Aubrey, weren't we talking about Plan B on Sunday night, my friend?
Done it.
What's that? Aubrey, you there?
We always talk about Plan B, because Plan A is never the right solution.
Just what Plan B are we talking about?
We were talking about Biden and Pocahontas, perhaps replacing Hillary Clinton. And then today in the Wall Street Journal, there's this big op-ed by Doug Schoen, and he goes through the whole spiel that Aubrey and I gave on Sunday night show. Congratulations, Aubrey.
Yeah, they listen to us because they got to find talking points because they're too stupid to figure their own out.
Prognosticators.
Right.
And we're so modest about it, you know.
That's very kind.
Yeah, there you go. Is that, why'd you call in?
Well, have you got your rim shot ready?
Wait a minute. I do now.
All right. Because, Mike, earlier on in the show, you said something about... What didn't Obama pass the bar?
Right.
Well, that's a kind of stupid question, because isn't he a constipational lawyer?
That's a good way to put it. You know, I always love it when the other fellow was talking about that new fellow, French, and he said, well, he's a constitutional lawyer. That's really good. I said, wait a second. Obama was supposedly a constitutional lawyer who never got his license, right?
Yeah.
That's nice to add.
Very clever there of you, Aubrey.
He knows all the tools.
Have a good evening, folks.
All right, thanks for calling.
Oh, by the way, the turnpike accident southbound at the 417.
Yes. Right.
It's backed up for over 6 miles.
Ooh. All right, folks, thank you for that
note
update.
If you're listening.
Yeah, please avoid that area if you're heading out on the road or on the road. All right, thank you, Aubrey. And, of course, you can listen to Aubrey. He sits in with me on Sunday night for the three-hour classic tour. And then he also hosts the Talk to the Experts show live every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 3 p.m. Real quick, also, Aubrey introduced me, actually, to Lisa Christman, several years ago, who is now the owner-operator of the brand-new Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa, and she has invited each and every one of you, along with us, to her premier grand opening this Sunday, which is also to celebrate Marilyn Monroe's birthday, which would have been today.
Happy, happy birthday, Marilyn.
All right.
Now, wait, but Frank's going to be there, too, right?
The old blue eyes, that's
Frank
right.
Frank Sinatra will be there.
He'll be
Marilyn.
There. Marilyn. And hopefully all of you will be there, as many of you as possible. It's going to be from 3 to 7 p.m. this Sunday at that Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa, which is located on the west side of Oviedo, just east of the intersection of Dean Road and Aloma. So it's real easy to get to. If you want to take the 417, you get off on Aloma. You go just past Dean Road, about a quarter mile on your right.
Right.
If you want to go down.
It's easy to get to. Very simple.
You take
and great
Dean
parking.
Road, take
Number
Aloma.
Great parking.
Lots of parking. And it's a beautiful building. And you're really going to enjoy yourself.
Massages, Chris?
It's all free. Mm. There's going to be free, exactly. Some massages, food and beverages, door prizes. They'll give you some tips and some and a little nail service, hair service, makeup service, massage, facials,
right.
All this stuff going on. And for you, our listeners only, she has a special treat if you text MM Radio to 71441. You will get that special treat. That's MM Radio to 71441. So please join Marilyn and Frank and Lisa at the premier grand opening of the Marilyn Monroe Salon and Spa this Sunday, 3 to 7 p.m.
That should be a nice way to, looks like, cool down your day. You know, you're all hot during the day. Stop by, have a little champagne.
That's right. And, relax.
Yeah, a nice little massage. Hello, Betty.
Yeah, listen to the little American Adversaries on the way
That's
home.
That's exactly right.
Yes, sirree.
On make, fire.
Make for a good Sunday afternoon. Let's see. All right, David is up next on the line. Let's give David a shout out. David, thank you for being out there.
Even Christopher, my brother from another mother. Before I get into a Michael McBath, I remember you from the 1980s. You hosted a sports talk show on WKIS in the 1980s game. John McKay's got to go when the bus went down the tubes. And I said, you were right and I was wrong, sir. I apologize.
I remember that. That's great. Okay, Dave. You must be pretty old, Dave. I thought you were about 25.
I want to say this, Christopher. A lot of people know this, don't know it, but I'll say it. Mr. McBath is one of the top 10 selling earners for Merrill Lynch. I guess we can say to you, sir, that Warren Buffett is called the Oracle of Omaha. Michael McBath should definitely get the crown of the Oracle of Orlando, because you definitely earned it, sir.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you, David.
Kind. And he's absolutely correct.
Well, you know, it was 38 years in one of the most difficult businesses, as you know, you could be in. And I think the average person in that business lasts about 5.3 years because if you don't do your homework, tough, tough, tough game, you know?
Now, the Friday, I mentioned this on Friday, the Trump rally to get together would be moved to Best Burgers, B-E-T-H, 5145 South Orange.
That's...
No, on, that's Michigan, all that stuff. Everybody is invited. You are the American Adversaries, Mr. McBath, Carl Jackson, the producer, Aubrey Kahn, Dr. K. Come on in. There's going to be free food. There's going to be soda. There will be media at the event. No DBO. No,
wait a minute. Wait.
No, there's going to be local political people. No Mayor Jacobs. Ken Corcoran, the commission. There's going to be a lot of people there. Come on down for the first hearing, guys. You can see how the company is.
Okay.
Now, Michael.
Wait a minute. David. When and where again, please?
Yeah, Tuesday night on the 7th of June.
Okay. This is a final primary watch party.
That is correct.
And you said it was at the what burger place?
Beth.
Beth
Burgers, 5145 South Orange Avenue.
That's right. Okay.
I want you to mention to everyone on the radio show so that we'd be ready and rock and roll, because we expect a big crowd.
Okay, I'll mention it again a couple times between now and then.
Michael, I know you play for the Bills. There is a ESPN documentary, O.J. Made in America. How did that play for O.J. Simpson in his rookie year?
Well, you know, it was funny. When he came to Buffalo in his rookie year, he was obviously the most highest paid player, I think, in the NFL, unless maybe Joe Namath. But I will have to tell you this. The guy was a very affable man. And, you know, he wasn't, you know, conceited or, you know, he didn't have a terrible attitude. So, really, I would hate to say, but in his rookie year, pretty good guy. You know, easy guy to get along with.
And you said when you look back at the team photograph of all right. you guys, he would be one of the last ones you think.
And that is exactly right, Chris. If I looked at that photo, when somebody, you know, 20 years later came up to me and said, Mike, one of your teammates killed someone, right? Well, you know, I had some pretty rugged guys, and I'm thinking he would have been about one of the last guys I would have guessed that would have killed somebody, you know. So, you know, but unfortunately, I think this was really a heavy drug involvement type of situation. I mean, I have my own theory on what actually occurred. But
yeah, and by the way, the ESPN special that David is talking about comes out in about – it comes out on the 11th, doesn't it, David?
O.J. Made in America has been awarded the top prize in the Sundance Film Festival.
Really?
Yes, sir. It's been a lot of awards. Rolling Stone, New York Times, everything. I mean, you see the trailer on YouTube. It's really unbelievable. Now, let's talk one last thing real quick about Mr. Trump's news conference yesterday at the Trump Tower about the veterans.
Yeah.
Well, he gave it to them. He gave the names. He gave the money. Isn't that ironic that Hillary Clinton didn't even give no questions by the media for 10 years about her involvement, the money people gave her on the Clinton Crime Family Foundation? And yet Trump called out this one reporter by ABC News, called him, he's nothing but the tweeds. He's a tweed ball. He's tweed. And then Rush Limbaugh this morning on his radio show, he had these people saying they had never heard of any candidate run for office in this country ever to land base and go after the media and insult them like Donald Trump did.
Yeah, well, that's because none of us are that old, but it used to happen frequently back in the early days of the country. But, yeah, and by the way, we talked about that a little bit last night, and that was, I mean, it was great. It was, he says, once again, what a lot of people feel. And, yeah, we all think, or at least a lot of us think, that these media types are sleazy, you know, liars. And, hey, you know, more power to the man for doing it. Okay, so Tuesday primary night, Beth Burgers, 5145 South Orange Avenue. We are all invited for a primary watch party. This is a Trump group. So that's what time? 7 o'clock on, David?
Well, remember, because of the West Coast time difference, the Pacific Standard Time, and particularly with the California primary.
Okay, so it'll be a little bit
close to probably 7 p.m. their time, which it may be 8 p.m., which would be about 7, no, about,
be
about maybe
10 o'clock. Be about
11 p.m. our time.
Okay, so it's going to be a little bit of a late evening party, but that sounds like a lot of fun. All right, thank you for the heads up, and we'll mention it a few more times between now and then.
All right, David. Thanks, Dave.
All right. Okay, yeah, there's a couple of very interesting things coming out about OJ this summer. The ESPN thing is coming out this month.
I mean, because I really do. I went skiing with Nicole and OJ 3 months before the incident. And, you know, obviously I knew all the characters, and Al Cowings I knew real well because we played the same position together for 4 years. And
he was a great athlete. He just couldn't play football.
Great athlete. He just couldn't play football. You know, they're going, boy, Mike, he's a much better athlete than you. I said, I know, but that's why he's blasted up in the stands. He doesn't know how to play football, you know. So,
all right. We'll be right back with more of tonight's show. See him singing and dancing this afternoon. Oh, he stood up there and he's warning us about Donald Trump. Oh, he was something, wasn't he?
You know, he had the arrogance. And I turned it off after the statement. He said, America is better off today since I came here. Get lost, loser. I mean, does this guy get it, man? What is wrong with these people?
I suppose in Barack Obama's distorted way of looking at things, he might actually believe that himself.
Yeah, he's brought more drugs into the country, more thugs into the country. He's done a great job.
Well,
destroyed our working conditions, EPA.
If you're Bill Gates, it's been a pretty good time for you. If you're Warren Buffett, it hasn't been so bad. So, right? You know, it depends on how you look at this thing, right?
Well,
but for the rest of us, it's pretty much...
For the other 99%, it's not looking good, buddy.
Exactly, you know? Exactly.
The arrogance to say that, and I hate his smirky little laugh, like...
Well, and the purpose of the speech today by the president was to warn the nation about Donald Trump and to weigh in on the 2016 election and begin to put his footprint on things, as it were.
Oh, God.
And, of course, this can't be good for Hillary Clinton, right?
I would think so. I think you're right.
You know, you want him out there fundraising and campaigning for you, but you don't want him making.
We don't
want
to be too close.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't want him.
Be Brian Blair, the killer bee, and I'm tired of those sticky liberal lies. That's why I tune in to the American Adversaries, where you get nothing but the truth. So don't get stung. Listen to AM 660, The Answer.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. And yes, we are here on the airwaves. The Tampa Rays are playing at 8:05, I believe, first pitch tonight. The pregame show will start at 7:30. And, of course, you'll have the rest of our show here on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And then you'll have 30 minutes of the Larry Elder show. And please do tune in for him. And, you know, he was a moderator in the, he was the main moderator, as a matter of fact, in the Libertarian debate.
Right, actually right here in Orlando.
Right here in Orlando this past weekend. And by the way, we mentioned this on the show Sunday night. We knew at that time that Gary Johnson had been chosen as the presidential candidate for the Libertarians. We now also know that William Weld, indeed, and that's who Johnson wanted, was chosen as his vice presidential candidate.
Right.
And they said that they agreed wholeheartedly with Donald Trump when it came to... when he assessed the Libertarian Party, Trump made some assessments about the Libertarian Party, which they agreed with, and said that they are not going to attack Donald Trump. And I thought to myself, finally, Gary Johnson is not as dumb as he looks.
You know what?
Because no one who's done that has gotten away with it.
Chris, if he doesn't attack Donald and sort of, you know, secretly goes along with him, I believe he will get some of those Democratic votes, and he could really tip this thing. There was a poll today. Remember the Quinnipiac poll?
Give us the results, please.
And that one, today they had at 45, Clinton at Trump at 41. But... they said if the Green Party candidate, which is Jill Stein, was added and the Libertarian Gary Johnson was added, then it would have been Clinton instead of 45. It would have been Clinton 40, Trump 38. Now watch this. They think Johnson 5 and Stein 3. Well, you know, if Johnson could take away, you know, those young kids like that word, in all seriousness, they like the word libertarian. They believe that there's some great hallowed ground there. And I believe, you know, theoretically it sounds good, but I don't know how you make it, you know, without going to have a military and stuff like that. But I believe he would definitely extract more Democrats and ruin the Democratic candidate more than he would hurt Trump.
Yeah, I think so. However, I will say this. I think Trump is pretty close to being a libertarian.
Oh, I mean, I know what you're saying. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm just saying.
In some respects. You would probably see some similarity there. But nonetheless, you got this other third-party candidate, supposedly David French,
right?
Who is he's a highly credible individual. He's a war veteran. He is a strong conservative. Unfortunately, he's got zero name recognition, and there will be very little money to back him up. So I don't think the man's even going to do it.
The fact that Bill Kristol, you know, sort of references this guy, also hurts the guy. I mean, you know, aren't you a little bit bitter about this guy? I mean, come on, Kristol. You know, I mean, what do you got, a following of three people? And like Trump says, you know, your work isn't really that great. And the reality of it is French Fry might be a wonderful guy and all that, but you're not going to get – I bet you he wouldn't get a half of 1% of the vote.
And here's the really sad part about it. Okay, they know that – that this third party candidate cannot win the election, okay, outright. They know that. They also know that they can't get on all the ballots. So what they would try to do is win enough electors, I should say. I got to transition from primary to general election now. They would try to deny either the Democrat or the Republican nominee from getting the required 270 delegates, so that it would then go to the House of Representatives to elect the president. And by the way, the Senate would elect the vice president. And if and the new House and the new Senate elected on the general election day in November, not the House and Senate we have now. So let's just say the Republicans retain the House but lose the Senate. It would be that new Democratic Senate that would choose the vice president. Can you imagine?
Well, that would be a horrible
thing. It would be a very interesting scenario, wouldn't it? And this is yet what Bill Kristol and these third-party candidates are thinking about doing, and that is to get this thrown there. And then I guarantee you, it would not be Mr. David French who the House would choose as president.
No.
It would be Mitt Romney or someone else who really wants it but doesn't want to get in and do the hard work. And so let's just put it this way. Back when everybody was saying that the Republicans were going to have a contested convention, we were saying, don't be so sure. Let me just say right now, don't be so sure there's even going to be a third party candidate. Right. Now, even though this guy's name is being thrown around, he has not committed yet to doing it, at least not prior to showtime.
Now, Johnson had, you know, about 5% on this Quinnipiac.
The Libertarian, yeah.
He said that if he got, and he maybe, if he got up to 15%, guess what? He's on stage.
He should, that's
going to be a hard push to get up to 15%.
That's going to be a monumental task.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
If you remember, last time he was actually in a Republican debate. I believe it was here in Orlando. I can't remember, but he was actually in a Republican debate.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, for a time or two. So he's been on a debate stage, but he wasn't a very strong presence. As a matter of fact, he cracked a joke, which actually turned out to be someone else had already said the joke.
Not the same night, I hope.
I don't really remember.
It's like, Gary, wake up, buddy. The guy just said it right next to you.
I forget what it was, but it was his best line of the night. But it turned out that I think it was Rush Limbaugh had already said it or something like that. And so anyway, we'll, of course, keep our eye on that third-party candidate. But nonetheless, Trump's poll numbers continue to show strength, to show that the party is consolidating around him, that it is going to be a very competitive race at the very least, and it has got the Democrats quaking in their boots.
I'll tell you, though, this, even though I'm a big Trump fan and everything, if I just wonder when these congressmen and senators are running, if there might be a number of people just out of their resentment, not because they dislike the exact congressman, or just go like this, Mark the Libertarian. I've had it. You know, I mean, that concerns me. Now, we know that obviously all this can affect, the court system and everything else. But I wonder if the general guy might just go, you know what, I like Trump, but I don't like the Democrats or the Republicans. I'm going straight down. I wonder. We'll see.
I think there'll be a few.
I
think at the end of the day, people that don't like one or the other will most likely stay home.
Maybe they'll stay home.
And that of those who are left, there will be a few. You know, let's just put it this way. There won't be enough to really
shake the
exactly.
Tree.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thank you. All right. By the way, real quick, I just got this from Nostradamus. You know, Grant Malloy, our dear friend.
Yeah.
Is running
Banjo
for
man.
Seminole County,
yep.
Clerk of Court and Comptroller, Auditor up there. And Nostradamus is a big fan of Grant's. As a matter of fact, I went by Nostradamus' house just today and saw Grant Malloy's sign in his window.
Wow.
And lo and behold, his next door neighbor had a Grant Malloy sign in that window.
Wonder how that happened.
Just got this from Nostradamus out there on the road. He says, pounding on doors for Grant Malloy right now. More than one voter knows him from, quote-unquote, that radio show he was on 105.5. Well, I think that radio show they're talking about is us.
Right. Well, remember he played music that one night because he's
did.
Right. He did a good job, that banjo.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. He was writing a little ditty about us, too, yeah, I believe. Yeah. Frank is on
people.
The line. Yeah. Frank, thank you for calling tonight. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Excellent.
Hey, Frank.
Number one, the Pro Bowl is a dog that needs to be put to rest.
It kind of does, though. You know, when you get
Frank, you know where my feelings toward it. The game's over, buddy.
Yeah.
I was listening to what you were saying before, Mike. You were exactly right. I mean, I quit watching it, you know, back when even the guys would play that were.
No, I know. I mean, last
and nobody wants to get hurt, and you know. Stuff.
And the last year, Frank, when I saw the fullback come through the line, right, and the guy just grabbed his hip pads, neither of them wanted to fall down. He goes, "Okay, stop." And I'm watching this, going, "Oh
like,
my God,
yeah,
like the end is near."
The NBA All-Star game.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I mean, or a wide receiver goes out, he makes a quick cut, and the defensive back, who do I care? Let him score.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
I would suggest. I mean, I think there's something there, but they need a change of format. Maybe it'd be a contest one night. You know what to do. I would suggest like they do in baseball with the old time game. You know, and get the guys ready and give them a month or two to get ready and draft a team. And I bet them guys would play their hearts out. And I think it would be real interesting.
Well, you remember that old
Mike,
game.
Mike, can we get you to suit up again in
the
Bills uniform?
Man. I mean, I might be good for one play, you know. I actually, honestly, when I was like 46 years old when I owned the Predators, I was debating going out and playing.
Really?
And then I watched it real close, and I said no. Because it looked awful rough. You know, once your mindset has changed.
It'd be a lot harder to sell stocks with broken legs,
yeah,
right?
I wish my grandpa was dead.
I wanted to bring up the result of the poll with the gorilla, okay?
All right.
Yes.
And it's like surprising 50-50, right? But what you're seeing is decades of indoctrination into evolution.
Yeah, well,
so basically, people are identifying with this gorilla as like a distant relative or something. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I think it's part that, but I think part two is getting a lot of media coverage on this. And all I say is people be careful. Because what the media is setting you up for is the, okay, now we need to do away with zoos altogether.
Oh, no,
it's cruel.
No, no.
It's cruel to keep these animals pinned up like that. And this was an awakening, right? This was a wake-up call to us all. That's what I'm afraid of.
One more quick thing, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, do me a favor.
All right.
You remember Hugh Hyman, the athletic director for Ohio State?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I met him a couple of times at Beulah Park. He's like us. He was a big horse racer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I said, what's this, the Ohio State University? Because they said it in print.
Right.
He went, no. He said, that's not actually it. He said, it's the Ohio State University.
I know. Well, listen, I'm a Penn Stater. They're not my favorite.
I know you are. You know a lot of people. Please ask them to say it. It's not the Ohio State, because that changes the whole thing. It sounds so pretentious. It's the Ohio State University. I got to call you and tell him, because he's a big Ohio
State. I have to tell you one story, though, I'll never forget. This kid played fullback at Ohio State, and he's a businessman and everything. About 20 years later, I'm with him. And you know Woody Hayes, he was nuts, right? He was saying they're playing Michigan, and it's halftime, right? And Woody's fired up, screaming at everybody. And he says, you guys don't know the pain I want to deliver to him. And he took his mouth, and he bit his arm and just ripped the skin off, and blood pours out. And the kid's like this. Oh, my God. Yeah, I guess you're right, coach. You know? He said the guy was nuts.
I don't hear that well. And I can tell you that I'll never forget Woody and Bo staring across the field during that Michigan game.
Yep.
And with my impaired hearing, I could hear the contact from the fan.
I hear you. Hey, thanks, Frank.
All right, okay, Frank. Later.
Yeah, he's bringing back some great memories, too. Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler.
Oh, yeah,
hey, by the way, he mentioned he's going to call Hugh Hewitt, maybe. I love it when I hear our listeners, our regular callers,
right,
on one of their shows, like our man
Big Al.
Al today on MedMen's show. And I thought Al did a great job. He made his argument well. He was prepared. And MedMen kept him on an extraordinary long time.
That's what I like. Tie him up.
Then, unfortunately, though, the question at the very end that MedMen asked him, he had already hung up. He asked him that if Bernie doesn't get the nomination and Hillary does, would he go ahead and vote for Hillary? And he's already said on our show he would not, that he would vote for Trump. I would have just loved to hear him say that.
You're right. We missed the last part.
Call him back, Al. Call him back. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Rick on the line. And then we're almost at the end of the show, so we're going to have
a little contest.
Yeah, we'll get over our contest rules again and give you tonight's final. Poll tally.
Welcome to the American Adversaries NFL Update Show.
This is the Pro Bowl. This has been canceled because of no attendance.
Lack of interest. All right. Before we go any further, you know, James Buckland has been a tremendous help with our brand new website. And his wife is opening up a brand new bakery in Sanford that you folks are going to want to go there.
All those type of
things. Yes, exactly. It's called Dreamy Cakes Gourmet Bakery. It's opening right downtown in the historic district, right down there. And you're all invited to their grand opening Friday. And they open at 11 a.m. in the morning. That's this Friday.
Right.
So please head on down there. And if you can't make it Friday, just go in. They'll be open starting Friday from 11 o'clock. And it'll be great stuff. They have tables
there. All types of bakery
goods. Items, cupcakes, you name it,
cakes,
breads.
Wedding cakes.
You name it. And you'll be able to actually sit there. And
divorce cakes. Hopefully not.
I don't know. But we'll be telling you more about this tomorrow. It's Dreamy Cakes Gourmet Bakery, downtown Sanford. And they're opening officially Friday morning at 11 a.m.
I like the name, too, Dreamy Cakes.
Yeah, that's right.
Hope the icing's good. I like ice cream cakes, though. I got to tell you that.
Yeah, I tell you what. All right, ice cream sandwich is always my favorite. Rick is up next. Rick, thank you for calling tonight.
Yeah, I want to ask you, there's a couple of things that Trump said. There's a few ideas a libertarian said that I know you totally disagree with. First on Trump, to make it easier to sue people for libel, free speech. Yeah, I know you're not for that. And 45% tariff on Chinese goods. You couldn't be for those things.
Well, let me, Rick, on that tariff thing, all that is just, you know, and you would agree with me, Chris, I think, it's just you shoot a shot out there. You know, the reality of them is, you know, when you get into conversation, it's like anything. I'm going to ask for more than I know I'm going to get, and I'm going to threaten you with this, even though I'll know I'll back off. It might end up with 6% tariff. You know, he would never hold to something like that. That's just a call
of
figure.
No, it's not
a lie. It's a negotiating tactic. That is not a lie. A lie is Hillary. That's a lie.
Yeah,
she lives a lie.
Matter of fact, if you read The Art of the Deal, he says that he always starts with an outrageous
thing. And then you're going to move back in position yourself.
Unless the other side gives in and gives you the outrageous demand. But that's the way, by the way. He doesn't want any tariff. He wants a better deal. He wants the Chinese to quit stealing our proprietary rights. He wants them to quit not, you know, having these knockoffs of our goods. And he wants a better trade deal. And this is how he would go about getting it.
But what about easier to sue for libel? I mean, that's ridiculous on free speech.
Well, what he is talking about, and unfortunately, unless there were a constitutional amendment, that this would not fly. Because the Supreme Court has already ruled that when it comes to politics and public people, you can pretty much say anything you want about them, and it doesn't have to be true.
Yeah.
So I understand, you know, he's expressing people's frustration with the media in his own way. And
in an odd way, too.
Well, yeah, but, you know, like I said, the Supreme Court, that would never fly. So,
also,
but what he is doing, though, is he is scoring points, I think, with the base, because the base,
like, to hear it.
Like yesterday, that was red meat for the base. They are fed up with this media being biased. And so that's where he's coming from with that.
A couple of things with libertarians. I know you said you're partial libertarian. They want to totally privatize Social Security. I couldn't believe it. And the little involvement overseas, legalizing all drugs, no interference what people do with their bodies, which means pro-choice. I was curious. I know you're not for most of those things.
Yeah, that's why I call myself a conservatarian. I'm not a big fan of prohibition. I'll tell you that right now. That's where I would be more open to their argument. I've made that argument myself on this show.
Yeah, you might have a
point. Yeah, but with those other things, I'm a little bit queasy about. Certainly, I don't like their view of foreign policy. I mean, this world is, especially with nuclear weapons and missiles and things like that, the world is too small. We cannot isolate ourselves. We haven't been able to do that since we've been a country. We tried. And we ended up paying tribute to Muslims over there in the Barbary Coast. So, in this world, you can't be an isolationist. The rest of the world will take advantage of you.
Well, that's why I don't think it'll take votes away from...
I don't either. I think that they'll... And this is what their polling shows, and I believe this is accurate,
right,
is that they're pulling pretty much evenly from both parties. That they're pulling... Basically, it's people who are frustrated with the parties and aren't willing to go the other way. And you got a handful of those in both parties. So,
yeah, it's a big bag.
Yeah, okay. All right, Rick, thanks for the call. Got to let you go, though, because I'm running out of time tonight. But thank you very much for the call. We really appreciate you being out there. All right, tomorrow night is contest night. Once again,
we got some big prizes, Chris. I'm impressed with the lineup for those who come up with the great ideas.
Yeah, you're going to get Scott Miller, My Liberty Threads, hottest-selling T-shirt.
I know.
You're going to get a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano, compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service, jerrysmb.com, and some bumper stickers and a book by Stephen Usha.
This is a priceless package.
That's right. Immigration and the Bible. By the way, the Legal Immigrants for America people will be now coming in on Sunday nights instead of Wednesday afternoons. They'll be coming in on Sunday nights.
Well, I'll be excited.
So they'll be with us this coming Sunday. But the contest rules.
Okay, we're going with political correctness. You know, it's time that the right has their own library. I'm tired of hearing all the left that I want a safe place. It's white oppression. It's a microaggression. But you know what? We're going to have our own terms. My first term is abominesque. What does abominesque mean? And I want to use it in a sentence. Abominesque means lacks major thought, extremely stupid. Now watch how I use it at the cocktail party. Hi, Bob. How are you? You know, Bob, your conversation, that was an extremely abominesque statement, meaning extremely stupid. So I think this is a good word that we can carry on for years.
Oh,
my
yeah.
second one is, we all know BLM, Black Lives Matter. Well, mine is BCD, Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit. So what does that mean? All that means is blaming someone else for what you did, in simple terms, right?
Right.
So let's look at a sentence. Oh, geez, that mass murderer looks like it was another BCD action. There you go. Use it in a sentence.
He had a
political
bad childhood.
Correction is very important.
All right. So tomorrow night is going to be our politically,
big contest.
Politically correct library of street lingo. Or politically incorrect library, whatever.
No, we want it politically correct. We're going to make that, put it into society.
All right, Nick LoCicero, final poll results, please.
All right, people want more pro football. 85% say they want to see more professional football come to Orlando.
Tell them to go to the Predators.
Gimme. All right. Thank you, Nick LoCicero. We will have a new poll question tomorrow night. Remember, though, you have to download the free WORL-FMAM app into your smart device, and then you will be able to participate in those poll questions. Once again, thank you so much for listening. Great calls tonight. We appreciate it. Go Al, man. I was rooting for you there up against MedBed. And we'll be back tomorrow night with Colonel Danny McKnight and, of course, our contest. So get those entries ready.
Okay, I'm already fired up for tomorrow night, Chris. I want to create a new library of words.
I can tell. All right, that'll do it for tonight. Night, everybody.
FM 105.5 at AM 660. The Answer.